Okay, thanks, Mark. Thank you, everyone. I am genuinely very glad that Mark asked me to come and speak today, because I have to confess that living up in the deepest, darkest Highlands, I may have chosen not to make the journey for a one-day conference like this. But given the first three papers that we've had, I'm delighted that I did make the journey. I have to say, I'm delighted that I made the journey. Three excellent papers, I'm sure you'll all agree. Oh, that's really small on the screen. Can you see that? Okay. Delighted that I made the journey, having a huge existential crisis that maybe I misread the brief. And I'm doing something quite different from these first three papers. This is not in any way a deep theological account. It's very much focused on praxis. It's not an exegetical or theological study. I'm just reflecting on theological education and its role in... So firstly, the role of theological education in discipleship. Now, this may be something that Mark deals with in his last paper, the whole question of discipleship. What is it? What isn't it? When it comes to discipleship, there are many different approaches. A little bit of kind of autobiographical background here. I kind of grew up very much in the evangelical tradition of Scripture Union, UCCF, the Universities and Colleges Christian Fellowship, IFES, the international branch of the student ministry, and Navigators. Those were the most formative influences in my life, growing up as a Christian, growing up as a disciple, learning about discipleship, learning about leadership, and so on. And so really, the idea of what discipleship is indelibly linked, it's inextricably linked with 2 Timothy 2:2 for me, as I'm sure is probably the case for many of us here, where we read, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others." No gender specificity implied in the men there. But what we see here, you've got this chain link idea of discipleship, and it's often referred to as in terms of a kind of chain formulation. We see four generations of disciples represented within these verses. Paul, who taught Timothy and who encourages him to teach others, who will then go on to equip another generation. And this is very much the kind of mindset, the approach that I have when I come to think about what discipleship is within the church today. And I would like to suggest that theological education has an important role to play within this process. Now, it's not a unique role. You have to understand this. I'm not saying that this is something that only can be done in the theology degree, but I think that theological education does have an important role in this process, certainly can have an important role in this process. So when you read through a verse like 2 Timothy 2:2, I think we can in some ways see that the task of theological education is in no way different from the task of education as generally described or generally understood. So, of course, if you want to get a physics degree, what do? If you want to learn to be a physicist, you go off and you get a university degree in physics, where you are taught by people who have PhDs and research experience in physics. I should have really chosen another example because it's becoming eminently apparent that I'm struggling to find any examples drawn from physics at all. But excuse me. But of course, the idea is that there are those who have gone deep in the study of physics, and they are then tasked to engage with students in order to enable them to go deeper in their study and understanding of physics. Now, excuse me, folks. The interesting thing is that I do quite a lot of work with PhD students at the University of the Highlands and Islands where I teach. And recently I was asked to present a couple of papers or lead a couple of workshops for PhD students, one on the concept of doctorateness, what constitutes a doctorate, and the other one on effectively endurance and longevity in PhD studies. And the thing that struck me as I was preparing for these things, I read through some works on getting your PhD and encouraging PhD students and all the rest of it. The thing that really struck me is that in most modern formulations of this idea of how to encourage doctoral students, the language that is used there in terms of that supervisor-student relationship, it's very much the language of discipleship that is being used in modern educational theory. So even, we will talk about our doctor vater, our doctor father. There's this idea that the supervisory student relationship is important, that the relationship is in some way key. Most commonly, the educational literature talks about the PhD supervision process as a mentoring process. Now, that's not something that you would see back in the 80s and 90s. It was basically your student is a brain on a stick, and you are trying to impart as much of your knowledge into that brain on a stick. But now there's a whole lot of discussion about the student as a whole person, about the supervisor as a whole person, an awful lot of discussion of values-driven education and ethical learning and all sorts of things. And so we see that there is a sense in which within theological education we're doing nothing other than it is done in education generally. It's part of that process. We encourage certain people to go deep, to really go deep in their learning in order to equip another generation of students who have a desire to go deeper in their studies, who have a desire to learn more in the area of theology. So in that sense, it is a simple educative act. We expect those who have gone deep to in some way develop relationship with those who have a desire to go deep in their understanding of what theology is. So I guess that's the first thing, and I really need to speed up, don't I? No different from any other area in that sense. But the key aspect of this, I would suggest, is depth. It's the idea of it's the idea of those who have gone deep in their research, those who have really gone deep in their studies, trying to encourage, equip, and enable those who have the same or a similar desire. So going deep to guide others towards depth. As a part of that, I really want to advocate the importance of the PhD. Now, again, not everyone will agree with me here, and that's fine. But I do want to advocate the importance of the PhD. I think there is something uniquely significant about that single intense research project that equips educators to look at things with that kind of depth and to encourage others to enter into their study with the same sort of desire for depth. Now, again, there are possibly other ways in which to bring this about, but I would argue that the PhD is a uniquely good way to bring about that kind of depth that inspires the desire for depth. I don't have time to develop this in greater detail. I think the church in North America has perhaps twigged to this much more than the church in Europe has, where we have many students coming to do doctoral studies with us whose desire is simply to go back and to pastor churches. And I think there's possibly something that we're lacking in the European church because we don't have as many pastors who have been equipped to doctoral level. Now, don't get me wrong, we have plenty of pastor scholars. We do. But I think there is something about the PhD which is actually really beneficial to the discipleship process. And we're perhaps slightly missing a trick here. So you've got the importance of the PhD. I think you've also got the importance of the educated clergy. Now, by clergy, I'm just thinking about anyone who's involved in any ministry of any sort, basically, is what I have in mind here. One thing that I often say to our students, it's normally the first thing I say to them on induction day, is that we are not here to teach you what to think theologically, but we are here to teach you how to think theologically. And I think that is one of the great opportunities of the theology degree. Students take 3-4 years out simply to think about theological issues, to reflect upon theological issues. And as they do so, they are then equipped to go through that process again and again and again, or at least they should be, equipped to go through that process again and again and again in a variety of different settings and in response to a variety of different challenges and problems. So the whole idea for me of the theology degree, and I again stress it's not the only way to bring this about, but the idea of the theology degree is to encourage this type of theologically informed interrogative approach to every aspect of life and ministry, to every question or problem or situation that we face. So I think it is important to have, folks that are involved in ministry, folks that are involved in teaching and training others, for them to be properly theologically educated. So going deep, it's a kind of trickle-down model. I'm not going to dwell on this. I do see this as a kind of trickle-down model. So we encourage people to get a PhD to go deep in order to encourage others to go deeper. And it is a kind of trickle-down approach. I'm not a huge fan, actually, of trickle-down economics, but I think it's a helpful analogy for the role of theological education in the process of discipleship. Not everyone's going to get a PhD. It simply wouldn't be right for everyone to set out to get a PhD. But it is important that an element of the church does so in order to have that kind of trickle-down effect of depth. So there's more that I could say about that, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to skip past that. If you've got any questions on these, feel free to ask afterwards. Let me think briefly about the limits of theological education in terms of discipleship. I'll just bring those all in. I have to say that within the classroom setting, almost inevitably, there is limited scope for the individual. It is simply not possible to come alongside each and every student and to mentor them in every aspect of gospel living. Simply the pressures and time constraints do not allow for that. Almost inevitably, you will have greater contact with some students, perhaps the students that appear most frequently in your classes, and you'll have more opportunity with some students than with others. But there is There is limited scope for that kind of individual interaction. Of course, there is some scope, even as I say that, you know, in terms of helping students who are writing projects or dissertations or taking guided reading modules, where you have a much more one-on-one contact with the students. But that is certainly one of the limits of theological education in terms of discipleship. Secondly, there is, of course, limited scope for actual praxis within the academy. Whilst it's good for students to take a worship module, a worship module is not the same as leading worship and the experience that is drawn from leading worship. A homiletics module is not the same as actually preaching. Now, don't get me wrong, I think these are both good things, I think that the students should do them. But of course, the point that I'm making here is that there is limited scope for praxis within the university or Bible college setting. And the modules don't replicate the practice 100% accurately. The ideal, of course, is to have students that are leading worship and preaching whilst they are doing these modules. That works very well. There are, of course, limits of social setting as well. Certainly in the university setting, most of our classes will be very much a mixed economy. There is absolutely no guarantee that everyone in the classroom will be a Christian. And there is certainly no guarantee that everyone will be asking questions related to mission and ministry and discipleship and Christian growth. So that in itself will almost inevitably place some limits in terms of theological education's role in terms of discipleship. I should note here that this is probably an area in which the Bible colleges theological seminaries it's not so much of an issue for them. And then I would suggest that there's a fourth limit here in terms of university expectations. I think particularly within theology in the traditional universities, the REF, now probably most of you have never heard of the REF, the Research Excellence Framework, which sends a chill through most academics working